Hello, everybody. This is Luke Stamey, and I'm your host of the Space Travel Podcast. I got a little bit of time today here at lunch to head home from work, see my babies, and get some stuff from my wife. So on this travel back to work, I figured I'd record a little bit of an episode and talk about last night's launch. It was rather riveting, if I do say so myself. My wife and I sat very intently watching the launch last night. It was a historic launch, as was the launch less than a week ago. This one for a different reason, though. This one was historic in the sense that this was the first time that a booster had landed after being flown five times. Which, if you ask me, that is extremely impressive. That is so cool, considering the fact that just less than 10 years ago, if you would have looked at probably even Elon himself and said, Elon, in 10 years, you're going to be flying orbital class rockets with humans on top. But not only are you going to be doing that with your company, you're also going to be landing the boosters, reusing them five times. He probably would have laughed, and as I've heard him say before, he would have probably told you, we got about a 10% chance of success. Which, you know, I gotta give mad props to Elon for the way that he does timelines. You know, I mean, if he's got something that's absolutely incredible, you know, he'll say that we'll do it in 2 years. You know, I mean, when all of us know that something like that can't be done in 2 years, but I think there is a method to his madness. I think his unrealistic Elon time is just so he can light a fire under everybody. You know, if you've got the expectation out there that you're going to do something and you need to do it in this amount of time, you're going to be motivated to continue and do it, you know? But anyway, mad props to him for that. Mad congratulations to SpaceX, entire team there on landing this booster successfully, and for also achieving the mission, which is to deploy the 60 Starlink satellites, which one included the new Sunshade to prevent them from interfering with any astronomical viewing from the surface of the Earth. I think it's awesome that a private company that probably doesn't, by law, have to worry about that kind of stuff is taking measures to make sure that our children will be able to view the same spectacular night sky that we ourselves viewed when we were young. That's very cool, and I, as a father, appreciate that because, as we all know, or should anyway, we do not inherit the earth from our ancestor. I do apologize for the interruption. I had something I had to take care of real quick, but I'm back. And I just wanted to finish the statement that I left off on. The fact that we do not inherit the earth from our ancestors, we borrow it from our children. It's a philosophy that I live by. And I think it's, you know, good for everybody to remember every so often, instead of thinking about it the other way around. But anyway, and that statement right there plays into reusability, and that just doesn't just apply to rockets and space travel. I mean, that's everything. We want to make everything as reusable as possible. We want to do as good as we can for this planet, keep this planet in as good a condition as possible, because our children are the ones that will be taking over when our time is up. Now, so they landed that booster. Everyone's super ecstatic. The Sunshade on the satellites themselves. Hopefully they work well, even though I will say that the last Starlink launch that we watched, me and my wife very much so enjoyed going out into the yard and watching them pass overhead. That was a cool thing for us, and just one of those, it was like an extension of the launch, and it was very exciting. enjoyed it, but I do understand the implications of having something highly reflective in orbit around the Earth, especially when you're planning on having 14,000 of them, or however many they do end up putting up there. So this week, or the past 7 days, has just been an exceptional 7 days for the entire SpaceX team and Elon Musk. I think it's very cool, everything they've accomplished. I did want to take a minute and talk about something that's not necessarily talked about a whole lot, but I find very cool, is the Sierra Nevada Corporation's Dream Chaser space plane. I've been following them on Twitter for a good while now. My son, actually, and this was my first introduction to the Dream Chaser, my son has a small toy, like a Hot Wheels toy of it, and I was looking at it one day, I was like, this is really cool, and you know, all Hot Wheels things, you flip them over, it says what they are underneath, and it said Dream Chaser, so I searched it, and sure enough, it came up with the Dream Chaser space plane. I was like, wow, this is a real thing. So anyway, they've been posting updates rather frequently these past few days, in the building process of the Dream Chaser, and it's just really fun to watch all those updates, because the Dream Chaser is going to be unlike any other space plane that has been made. It's going to be, it's a rather small craft, and the wings are going to be at an angle to the body, unlike the shuttle, which was a little bit, you know, flatter of a plane for the wings. But I did see that they posted and said that the wings of the Dream Chaser will actually fold in on ascent so that they can fit inside the fairing. And after the Dream Chaser is deployed and it is no longer attached to the rocket, the wings will deploy and they will stay in that fixed position until they land back on the ground. I also asked them on Twitter whether this space plane was going to be a crewed vehicle or whether it was going to be, you know, a cargo vessel, and they told me, or somebody on Twitter told me, that both the crewed and cargo versions of the Dream Chaser space plane are under development as we speak. So hit them up on Twitter. I think it's just at Sierra Nevada Corp. And look at all their progress. It's very cool, very futuristic looking design, and I wish them the best of luck in their endeavors. I did see also an update the other day from ULA. ULA has the booster in the vertical position for the Mars 2020 mission. I haven't really heard too many more updates on second stage integration or anything like that. I need to get on there and actually figure out the launch date for that. I can't grasp it in my head right now. I do know the date, and I know it's not too terribly far away. I just don't know a specific date. So, hey, if y'all know, hit me up on Twitter at LukeStamey20 and let me know what's up with that. I am extremely excited about Perseverance and seeing about their helicopter, how it's going to fare flying in the atmosphere of Mars. It's going to be very neat. And I think the idea of essentially having a small helicopter-like drone that can fly ahead of the Perseverance rover and kind of scout things out and help them find the best route and all that, I mean, it's just going to be very cool. Those robots, I should say lots of robots, because those rovers are actually many robots put together into one. They just really have been providing humanity with inspiration for so many years. I mean, every time I look at pictures that they take of the landscape of Mars, I can just put myself on the surface, like I'm standing there just seeing this view with my own two eyes, and that's a very cool experience. So, you know, thank you to anybody who has had any part in bringing us, you know, anything to do with those programs. It's very cool. And hopefully one day when a starship lands on the surface of the Mars, or when something lands, someone lands on the surface of Mars, we can go and we can collect those rovers to bring back to Earth, to put them in a museum or something of that nature so everyone can enjoy them. All right, my trip is almost through. I think I covered everything I wanted to get at this episode. If any of you guys have any tips, comments, anything like that, you can hit me up at my email address, which is spacetravelpodcast@aol.com, or hit me up on Twitter at LukeStamey20. I appreciate each and every one of you, and I'll see you next time. This is Luke Stamey with the Space Travel Podcast, signing off.